Good afternoon. Today is Friday, March the 20th, 80th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, our Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer. How you doing?
Doing good. Two days after the council meeting, and it's still sunny.
And you're still upright. That's good. Yeah. And just as challenging, 3 days post St. Patrick's Day.
We got to host a study session on St. Patrick's Day in Arcata, the Energy Committee and our Transportation Safety Committee. So we had a full evening.
Oh, kept you out of trouble, huh?
It did keep me out of trouble. But it did create a good amount of work, too. So that's
always. Yeah, you can't really barbecue corned beef, can you?
You could have tried on the back patio there, but yeah. I think the committees would have enjoyed it, actually.
Or you could just talk about. Set the keg up back there, and they probably wouldn't have worried too much about the other. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about smoking. Arcata is looking at doing a couple of different things around that. And also, we'll get an update on the infrastructure. Ooh. It actually isn't going to be all that boring. Just hang in there. We'll be back.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen D. I just opened this book and went into the wrong section. There's a great quote, but no, not going to talk about that one. Okay, here we go. Malcolm Forbes, you probably recognize him, huh? You didn't take any business classes whatsoever.
Mostly just the math side of it.
No econ.
Not econ. No, all calc.
You're probably coming up to speed on that one pretty quick, huh?
Pretty quickly.
That would be a head nod, folks. Our quote from Mr. Forbes. By the time we've made it, we've had it. Oh, ain't that the truth. How's budget processing?
It is coming along slowly. I mean, we started early this year in Arcata with a citizen budget task force. So they are starting to crunch down and create a list of potential service reductions. I think the last month that I was here, we talked about a potential general fund deficit of about $640,000. Last Wednesday night's council meeting, the council did approve the first phase of our department structure reorganization. So that generates a savings of about $300,000.
Now, would that have happened regardless of financial situation?
It's hard to say in hindsight. I mean, we had, this combination of sort of two backdrops. One was the financial constraints and the general fund deficit. The second one, we had a lot of vacancies in the cities and several pending retirements. So we had a good opportunity to look at department structure. In truth, I think the community should constantly be looking at their department structure. And sort of on a philosophical basis, it's good for us to always be looking at how we're delivering services. And change can be hard, but it does make us better. It does make us look at things through a new lens. It does give us that kind of formal opportunity to get feedback from our employees and start to create some change through what they're seeing every day, kind of on the streets and on the ground. And so
it becomes forefront.
Right.
Right. Yeah. There, instead. Yeah. Of something that would be a nicety. But
yeah.
Gee, I have two phone calls I have to take first.
Yep. So phase two of that discussion is really looking specifically at public safety. Public safety is, you could say at least 40% of general fund.
To what extent?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're just starting to work with the staff throughout the police department to look at, potential cost savings there as well. And then the budget task force is working independent of that process to look at overall city services and from a citizen's perspective start to prioritize where service cuts would be, least affected or, I guess, the lowest priorities for the citizens, in essence, to save as we go through the budget process.
Do you get a chance to, do you either sit in on their meetings or do you get little reports of their, are you starting to get little information tidbits about what they're looking at and whether or not they've come up with some really cool ideas? Or do you have to wait for the formal presentation?
I don't have to wait for the formal presentation, but I don't think they've coalesced on any real specific ideas yet. They've been doing a lot of data gathering. They've had a lot of presentations from staff. They've started to delve in into some various areas from, you know, sort of our vehicles and fleet, our property management, how much property the city owns, you know, what is the cost of some of that ownership. We are a service organization, so we have staff. I mean, that's the predominant cost of running any city. We deliver services through staff. So it's hard not for a budget task force to focus on the cost of staff, salaries, and benefits. And in part, that's really what the department structure was also geared towards. Can we look at an overall reduction in staffing? And so this phase one eliminates about 4.5 positions, 5 people in essence, although everybody that's currently an employee because of our vacancies and our retirements is being offered a full-time job still with the city. It might be a little different than what they're doing now, but it does eliminate, you know, 5 positions within the city. And so that's the first step of that, and will hopefully ease off the need to look more directly at, you know, a lot of the services and benefits that they might receive.
Are these shared responsibilities or mushing 2 jobs into one or 1.5 jobs into one? Is that kind of what the residual of this or the outcome will be?
It's a little bit of that, and it's actually some major merging of our utility crews and major merging of our parks, recreation, natural resources. So it eliminates, in essence, a layer of mid-management. And we've sort of talked as a staff, as, you know, if you really want to make sure that the potholes are fixed and that the parks are mowed, you can't lay off those people at the lower rung that are filling the potholes and that are mowing the parks. So,
well, it's tough to do it from behind the desk,
yeah,
also.
Yeah. So we really sort of looked at how within our management structure can we start to trim and still have a decent span of control to be able to support staff in the everyday work that they have to do.
You like that one, huh? Somebody's going to make or present a lawnmower attachment for the desk. KINS News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Deemer. Karen, the concept of budget is interesting to me, and I guess because it's a formal or informal, but it's a process that provides information loop. And if you got enough people, so it's not one vested perspective, you're probably going to get a pretty good cross-section of whether or not people think that the city is doing what they think the city should be doing, rather than having to do all these hearings and workshops and you get 10 or 12 people and you either draw them from a hat or, you know, various walks of, here, guys, give us feedback, because that's kind of what you're asking them for. Give us feedback.
Well, exactly. And the budget task force was really wrestling with whether or not they should do larger public engagement via a survey or a town hall meeting. And they really, I think, landed on the similar concept that you're mentioning, is that they were chosen specifically to go out and talk with, you know, residents within their families and within their work areas and bring back their personal knowledge and what they can individually gather from the community as a much more focused, this is a group of people that's received thorough education in the city's budget process from all the different departments and not just one specific area of interest, and then brings, you know, most of them have lived in the city a fairly long time and they bring a tremendous history of city service knowledge to the task force, and that it really is their collective minds that we're hoping to get a good list of priorities and ideas of potential service cuts that that the council should consider.
So if anybody happens to be listening who's on that panel, they should be perceived then as the old graybeards? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, it doesn't mean you've been in the city long.
I had a conversation this morning, and we're talking, and it's, you know, I mean, for those of us of our ilk, the 70s weren't that long ago.
But we're not,
I remember who, what was where, and yeah, you know, and making references and using first names of people who are dead and knowing, you know, who we're talking about. Yeah, it's the gray beards.
We definitely have some younger representation as well, but I'd say even within our younger representation, they have enough long-term experience in the community to really provide a longer view perspective of, you know, what are the vital city services. And when you talk about, does the city have a gauge of, you know, sort of the satisfaction of the citizens, one of the processes that most cities go through are utility rate hearings. And, you know, raising of utility and water and sewer fees. And so to be brief, because I know it's boring.
Well, I'm just saying, the turnout, if you get 25 people to show up to those things, isn't that a wild victory?
Well, unless they're really dissatisfied. You know, we find in the years that if your citizenry is dissatisfied, you'll have much more turnout at, you know, utility rate hearings. And we did utility rate hearings about a year ago in Arcata, and it was actually the first time I had ever seen that we had citizens come out and speak in favor, understanding where our infrastructure was and accepting the fact that as a community we need to fund that infrastructure so that it was there for 50 years. And to me that was a fantastic indication that the general tenor of the citizenry in Arcata is that much of what we're doing is going right.
So if the group is looking at priorities and coming up with a 1-2-3s, You have a sense of me that I tend to be contrarian on a couple of. Are they also being tasked with what are the least priority things that we're doing? So rather than just heavying up or highlighting the one end, here's some stuff that we really don't see much value in. And then giving you the opportunity to break out the magic marker and line them out or something else, and not worrying about going from 1 to 20, but here's 1 through 4, and here's 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah, no, they're exactly been asked to do that by the council, or what are real service cuts that you would recommend, and to try to attach dollar amounts that staff can help them develop for those service reductions. What are those lowest priority activities in, you know, in sort of the consensus view of the budget task force?
Now, this is where you're going to get in trouble.
Okay, good.
Karen's on the committee. What are your bottom three?
You know, my answer to this question is going to be the same every single time you ask me. I am hired to do the city's job, to run the city and to operate day in and day out, the will of the citizens and the will of the council. And of course, I take that seriously. As you know, we've had this conversation before. My job really is to let those good ideas come forward and to make sure that our task force and our council and our staff have the information that they need to be able to make data-driven decisions and data-informed decisions.
Is there a similar committee of staff, maybe
there
four
is.
Or five, who are also doing the prioritizing?
Mm-hmm. So we have a staff committee with two representatives from each department that are coming together to try to do a similar process of what would their recommendation be to the council to come up with a balanced budget.
And you're not on that one either.
I help facilitate that one.
Because you're just
executing
the will of the community and the staff.
Well, and then at the end of the day, the council will hear my recommendation as how to balance the budget. That is part of my job too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Diemer. Karen, the concept of individual rights, individual freedoms, yeah, legislating morals. Yeah, right. Isn't that why they got away from England and France and Germany and everywhere else, right?
Yeah, sometimes they say we just legislated common sense right out of our citizenry.
Yeah, instead of just anywhere. So some of the different behavioral-based laws and ordinances and things like that, do you see a trend to more of that, less of that? I mean, yeah, we've got the legalization coming up in a year and a half. That's one of them, obviously, that's big that's out there. But, you know, we could go from probably where you should clip your fingernails. I'm sure there's some ordinance somewhere that says that all the way out. Do you see we're having more and more of people wanting to tell other people formally what you can, where you can, where you can't, what you can't do in places outside of their homes?
Historically, I think we saw a pretty big trend in the 90s in terms of a lot of legislation that was coming around in local communities about behavior-driven activities, whether it was in parks or in, you know, downtown plaza areas.
Well, loitering is one, I think, is probably pretty tame. It's been around for a while.
But I think we've seen it kind of, you know, they ebbed out in the 90s and it kind of flowed back then, you know, by the 2000s in terms of, you know, in part maybe some state legislation pushback of, you know, what is constitutional and, you know, where is that line that overall the state is comfortable with and the constitutionality of that.
Yeah.
But one that the city has been wrestling with recently again is smoking, and it's tobacco smoking. but the same would be true in a post-legalization world. It's just smoking in certain areas, and the city for a long time has had a prohibited smoking area around the plaza. And then over the course of the last couple of years, the boundaries of that prohibited smoking area has pushed out from the plaza, you know, in sort of incremental blocks.
We'd say rippling away from and out from?
Yeah, so the challenge for the council right now is that the residents and businesses right on the edge of that boundary are coming to the council and having, you know, what they are certainly describing as very severe impacts of the crowds that now gather in the area that it becomes legal to smoke again. And so we are really in Arcata looking for some creative ideas of how to address that. And the council asked to come back with a few ideas. One is to try to identify some designated smoking areas. The other was, is there potential for, you know, kind of a time of use smoking area? So if the areas around the bars really in the evenings from 10 to 2 is sort of the high time. That's a bad word.
It works,
no,
it works.
To come out. The heavy time for the interest in smoking, could it be something that from, you know, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. that would be allowed in certain areas where it wouldn't be allowed in those areas during the regular commerce times of the day around the plaza?
Now, the retailers and the restaurateurs are already under an edict, right?
In terms of inside?
Yes.
In, yeah. I mean, the smoking regulations really were driven by secondhand smoke and employees. Employees' rights to not be subjected to secondhand smoke.
Versus the patron next to the table.
Yeah.
One side of me is going, okay, if the area is expanding, then you, by definition, you're concentrating it in other areas, which doesn't seem to be what anybody was really thinking would be a desired outcome of that.
Right, and so one idea that came forward was an all-out smoking ban on all public right-of-way streets, alley sidewalks, unless you were actively passing from point A to point B. So if you worked, say, on a business on the plaza and you were taking a break to smoke a cigarette, you couldn't concentrate and stand in one area, but if you walked around the block, had that cigarette, and went back to work, you know, that could be within a framework. I mean, the council hasn't really made... last night they did formally adopt, at least in beginning stages of an ordinance, that would, at this point, prohibit smoking in all public right-of-ways. But they made it really clear that they wanted to come back on April 15th and have a more lengthy discussion with more citizen input about whether or not that's really going to work.
So what is a public right-of-way?
Really any street, sidewalk,
porch,
alley.
Your front lawn?
Not private property, no. Any public.
If you're on the sidewalk in front of your house, are you now subject to the cigarette police?
Yeah, we don't have cigarette police.
Yet. Whip a syntax on that one. Well, it seems goofy, I guess. Why not do the other way and allow certain businesses to be smoke shops? If you want to, if that's a part of the marketing niche or the merchandising niche that you want to have, bars that allow smoking.
Yeah, and there is some state law that allows certain ventilated areas, if there are certain sections. That you
ventilated or not.
State law prohibits.
So there's
some regulation that doesn't allow, and again, it comes back to your employees shouldn't be subject to the secondhand smoke. There is some provision, my understanding, in state law that they can have small ventilated areas.
So why not just adjust the zoning ordinances? To allow that kind of business.
Then those would have to assume that people wanted to go into those kinds of businesses.
Well, somebody's smoking. Otherwise, there would be no discussion, right?
Yeah, but I don't know necessarily that those people that are smoking are interested in going into a business to smoke, per se.
If it's a bar, allow maybe a special ABC license that would be smoking and booze. And you have one or two of those on the plaza. And if the market wants it, somebody will buy it and abide by it. And they have to worry about all the vending and whatever. So you're really fortunate I'm not on your council.
We're looking for creative ideas. If your listeners have ideas or have seen things in other cities that have worked in terms of, either what designated smoking areas look like that are successful.
What about those cities that don't have the designated areas and they just have those plastic thingies where you put the used, I guess cigars have that also.
The city has a lot of
just have some bigger buckets around and say, okay, guys, have fun and just open it up and allow smoking anywhere in public space.
Yeah. Well, the complaints that came in that had the council starting to talk about this was, larger congregations of people that were smoking and staying in one area, and that smoke was concentrating in one area. So that's the community discussion. What do you allow? And I'll be honest, I get several people during this discussion over the last couple of weeks that come in every week and talk about how offended they are at being around secondhand smoke, even in outdoor settings and outdoor neighborhoods. And then you get, the opposite side of that, which is I am a smoker and I work in the downtown area and I need a place to smoke. So that's the wrestling dilemma. I think that, in some respects we are dealing with sort of this congregating issue too, where
it sounds like that might be more of the issue is the concentration part, not an individual.
Mm-hmm. I think it's been a blend of both, but I think we definitely had a conversation at the council level about that sort of larger gathering area. And
you're not going to include perfume in this also, are you?
There's been no discussion on perfume yet.
Good deal. KINS News and Information Times 344. We'll be back with more from Karen Deemer.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time is 3:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Karen Deemer. Karen, update on the trail. I know you'd said it was going to be cutting and doing and pouring and smushing, and a couple months ago, is it?
Yep. So our first phase of the trail construction was awarded to McCullough Construction. Actually, a local Arcata company got the low bid. And so they're just starting to clear, and their official real hard construction date where they'll start really pouring stuff is April 15th.
Do they have to wait till that? Was that part of the permit?
For certain portions of it, yeah. For a certain part of our permits is April 15th in terms of a construction date.
Wait till the rain hits?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll see how long those last. But it's exciting. It's in conjunction with the Foster Avenue expansion project. So we're also constructing, maybe the first really new road in the interior of the city of Arcata, at least since I've been there. So it'll be a
roads
connection.
Roads don't get built that much anymore, do they?
Not in the already
in
built
towns.
Environment. Yeah. So this will be a major connection piece between Northtown Sunset Avenue and Alliance Avenue in Arcata. Kind of running along the high school and the railroad tracks. So construction is starting on that simultaneous with the trail. So they both really kick off April 15th in full construction, and they're already starting some vegetation clearing. And so it's exciting, I think.
You're not going to have a bike trail along the road expansion, are you?
Yep, we will definitely have a bike trail along the road expansion. Yeah, that is part of our railroad trail project that goes through the whole city as well. I think it's exciting. We had a resident come to the council meeting on Wednesday night and talk about the real value of separating bike trails from streets. And so Arcata has, a real blend of different type of ped and bike amenities. And we had just completed what we call the Bicycle Boulevard, which really was trying to calm traffic on an existing north and south and east and west route through Arcata. But it is sharing the trail, with cars on a road. Versus this, Railwood Trail will be, at least through L Street and up to Sunset, a completely separated pathway. And so I think
is that why H Street has a goofy stuff at the north in Northtown? The bulb outs and the
traffic calming
elevateds and the I think it's traffic discouraging, but
but the traffic moves through. It goes slowly, and I think that really is the goal. Is if you can minimize the damage from accidents that are going to happen in congested area by slowing people's speeds,
and there were that many,
not having them hit head on, then you're ahead of the game.
It's one way.
Well,
you can do a
head on.
Through the bar district.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow afternoon. Well, wait, it's Monday. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Thanks so much. You love. See you tomorrow morning.